Now, Families for Reform of CAMHS have published a new survey on experience of CAMHS, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, a Family Perspective. The report sets out the findings based on the experiences of 736 families across Ireland when it comes to what their families have been through, what their children have been through, how they've accessed the service and all of that. The survey was held over a three-week period from April 6th to the 28th of April, and the findings paint a stark picture of the reality in this country of trying to access mental health supports for a child and the impact it has on the family. The results of the survey, according to the families of CAMHS, say it paints a picture and it provides an insight into the difficulties at every stage of the process, from trying to get through the referral process to lengthy time periods spent on the waiting list, the difficulty accessing therapeutic supports once in the service, and finally the children being discharged before families feel they're ready to be. And that's just part of what was found in this report and this survey in terms of the sort of feelings that they feel in terms of referral, waiting list and leaving it as well. With me on the line to talk about this in more detail, we've got Fiona Coyle, who's CEO of Mental Health Reform, who have their own bit to say in relation to what the family's experience have been. Fiona, good morning to you and thanks for joining us in the programme. Can I just for all get your view on the outcomes of this survey and that fact that there's just such a fight on everybody's hands when it comes to the individual stages of the process, the referral process, being on waiting lists, and then the whole discharge process?
Yeah, good morning. And yeah, I suppose mental health reform, you know, from our perspective, this report, it's very powerful because it really gives the insight from those, you know, from the families who are trying to access the services and the challenges and experiences that still remain that are prohibiting them. You know, some of the kind of the stark pieces that jumped out at us was the number of parents or carers. So 92% who took part felt that their child or young person's mental health deteriorated while they were waiting to be seen by CAMHS. And you know, I think we're really calling for a service where a young people gets the support they need at the right time, because CAMHS is, you know, it is a specialist service for people who are experiencing, you know, quite kind of severe mental health difficulties. But if those individuals were able to maybe access support at a much earlier time, they may not need that specialist support. So I think, you know, we've seen that our children and youth mental health services, in particular the specialised CAMHS services, have been in the news a lot, and you know very well the story down there in Kerry. But you know, there has been some progress. There's a new child and youth mental health office set up in the HSE, but unfortunately what this survey shows is that, you know, progress isn't happening fast enough, and the experience are still of so many people are still so negative. So I think, you know, funding is something that we always have to point out, that, you know, we can't improve the services without more funding. Mental health has been really underfunded for decades now, and to really change the experiences of young people, we need to start with the funding question and ensure that, you know, we don't know when a budget is coming, but that this is at the top of the agenda for the government.
Yeah, and that is the issue. Now, as found in the report, once in the door of CAMHS, the top support identified by respondents was individual staff members. And they all acknowledge, a lot of them acknowledge, the huge strain staff were under, the heavy workload they carried, how staff were stuck fighting fires. The positive impact an individual staff member could make when families felt they were being listened to, believed and validated, made a huge difference. Some staff members went out of their way to ensure a child received some form of intervention or wasn't discharged prematurely. And that paints the picture, I suppose, again, of the problems of staff retention, the number of staff that's there, the workload staff are under in terms of the service they can provide to children.
Yeah, and I think it that's a really good point you made, that, you know, our CAM services are staffed with brilliant individuals across the country who are going above and beyond, you know, stretching themselves both personally and professionally to meet the needs of the young people that are coming in, but there simply isn't enough of them. And, you know, that's not going to change overnight either. You know, we have a staffing crisis in many of the roles that are in the CAMS teams. You know, we need to start investing in college courses and getting people trained up and retaining people in the country. So, you know, that is a more medium to longer term piece of work that the government needs to also invest in. But we also need to look at, you know, what do we have at our disposal? And, you know, the specialist services, you know, even if we gave them all the money in the world tomorrow, they probably still wouldn't be able to bring their staffing levels up to 100% due to all the issues that are out there. But there are lots of other kind of resources out there. So, you know, Mental Health Reform, we're a coalition of 85 member organisations, many of whom are providing services in communities across the country, like Jigsaw, ISPCEC, Bernardo's, and a lot of these organisations haven't received any increase in funding. So they're meeting with more people, more young people are reaching out, but yet the government funding remains consistent. So I think, you know, there are smart ways to invest, you know, in that early intervention and prevention piece to ensure that, you know, the CAMS teams, you know, that they're not under as much stress as they are, and that the young person, more importantly, gets the support that they need at the earliest time.
And Fiona, the form of that support is an issue as well. Almost 70% of children had been offered medication as a therapy, whereas a much smaller percentage have been offered other forms of intervention. 29% of those respondents whose children were on medications, they did not feel they had adequate support with it and the monitoring of it. Some families spoke of being discharged after refusing medication as there were no other interventions available, like therapeutic support, occupational therapy, speech and language therapy, and all of that. And when they, where they were provided, they varied from one CAM service to the next. So medication, the first port of call, whether, you know, I won't say whether it was appropriate or not, and we have the whole situation with Kerry CAMS and all of that, but that shows a service that isn't able to provide the other options that might be more appropriate.
Yeah, and it's not being led by what the child or the individual needs. You know, medication is a very powerful part of overall, you know, response to mental health difficulties. But, you know, people need different types of support, like talking therapies, as you said, occupational therapy, speech and language therapy in some cases. So there is, you know, it's the system at the moment, when those posts are not in place, I suppose, you know, the more medicalized approaches, it seems to be the one that is coming to the fore. And, you know, young people, everyone's recovery journey is very different. And a lot of people, you know, the talk therapy piece, the play therapy, you know, creative side of things, it really does support people in a very different way. And it leads to good outcomes for particular people. So that choice piece is so important, especially for young people as well, who really, you know, they need to have a say on what type of support that they need. But a lot of those kind of therapies as well, excuse me, is being provided by the community and voluntary sector. So, you know, there could be a way of, you know, that the CAMS teams are engaging with some of these organisations in the locality and linking in some of the supports that are right there, and making it kind of, all of this stuff, it's all HSE funded, but yet it can be very siloed in the approach. And I think that's something that came out really strong in the report, the fact that, you know, everything is so siloed. So, you know, if you have a child or a young person with autism, you're very often sent down one path, and then you're told to come back up it and go into CAMS, or, you know, different, everything is siloed at the moment. And I think it's really important that we are young person centred, and for the families, that they're not the ones navigating, because you've seen in the report, like, families have had to take time off work, and put their money into private support. You know, there's so much that that coming back on the families. And as you said, they're the ones that have to navigate the system. The system isn't working for them.
Yeah, certainly not. And one of the findings as well is when some families who could afford to go private, and a lot of them couldn't, and some of them like were spending sleepless nights worrying about the cost of going private. Some of them couldn't even find a private child psychiatrist who was taking on new clients or had their child turned away from a private practitioner because the needs were deemed too complex, especially if the child had an intellectual disability. So where do you turn then, Fiona, if it's not available even privately?
Yeah, you're stuck. And you know, we've seen in other reports, not this one, and Bernard just did a report a few years ago that showed that parents were choosing between getting electricity or sending their child to counselling. You know, these are not decisions that families should be having been forced to make. And you know, even the private route at the moment, it's so difficult because of that lack of staff that's out there. But yeah, I think that's the main message from the report, is families, a lot of them feel like they're fighting at every corner, but they're getting no support.
Fiona, listen, look, we'll see where it goes from here, but thanks very much for giving us your thoughts and your call there for more funding to be provided to try and respond to this problem.
Thanks so much.
Okay, Fiona Coyle there, Mental Health Reform, talking about that report, that survey was done of families who have been through the CAMHS service. And this is aside from, of course, the continuing issues to do with CAMHS in Kerry and look back reviews and compensation schemes and all of that, the experience of the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service, a family perspective, just published in the last few days by Families for Reform of CAMHS. If you have a view, get in touch.